Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Dukes and Bell on a Falcons Monday. Willie P in for Carl. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Always be listening to us via the radio.com app. Use the rewind function to get anything you might have missed, including our open, where we were pretty, again, honest with what happened yesterday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We'll talk a lot about the Falcons coming up. I see on your social media, Mike Bell, that it looks like you were able to score some tickets for the Lions game.
Yeah, man. As a season ticket holder, I don't know how it works for some of the other fans out there. Today was the day that I had like a window that they give you a specific time that you log on to your account. And then, you know, in my case, I was able to get tickets for the Panthers and the Lions and move up a little bit from where I'm sitting usually, which is kind of cool. So I've always maintained, let me go. I'll follow protocols. I'll wear a hazmat suit. I'll wear a freaking diaper if I have to, okay? But I want to see my football because, you know, as much as I bellyache about where we're going with this current regime, call me a sucker. I said this on Twitter, Will. I love the game day experience. I know it's going to be unusual in the, you know, with the COVID-19 and all that, but I still pull for this team. I love this team. They don't love me back, but you know, things right. have to change. We'll talk more about it, but yeah. So, I mean, it'll be something that, you know, I don't know where this team is going. You know, I mean, this Green Bay game is kind of daunting based on what they just did down in New Orleans. It looks like they may have Davante Adams back on Monday night. Hopefully we'll have Julio back for that one. But, you know, it's just so frustrating. But at the bare minimum, at least I'll get to see the Falcons in person this year for what it's worth.
It is Dukes and Bell, Willie P. And for Carl, it's an NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Time for some game balls and no balls. This guy, week number one, we saw him play for the Seattle Seahawks, and he was sparkling once again on the NFL's biggest stage against Dallas.
Game balls.
First and goal from the one. Russ gets the snap. From the shotgun, looks over the top, wide open in the back of the end zone. For the third time, Tyler Lockett, touchdown, Seahawks.
27 of 40, 315, and 5 TDs. Also, Tyler Lockett, 9 catches for 100 yards. This is a similar run that Russ had to start the year last year, Mike. Right. Basically, week 1 through week 6, didn't throw a pick, and then it kind of fell off the table for him. Is this the year that he finally gets an MVP vote at the end of the year, and possibly an MVP award?
He's got to. He's got no defense. I mean, they got to battle and make sure. It's basically Russ and Jamal Adams. It's a two-man gang, and he went out. Jamal Adams did yesterday. If you didn't see the game. And the Cowboys just kind of shot themselves in the foot at the end. I think, you know, Dak made this amazing scramble, and then he didn't have to go for the end zone. He did, and that's all she wrote. But, yeah, Russell Wilson's got more touchdowns than Mahomes. He's got unbelievable stuff. He's MVP. You could argue he should have been in the mix a couple of years past, but it was really something. By the way, just for fantasy owners real quick, Pete Carroll kind of ticked off on the tackle where they kind of like grabbed at Chris Carson as he was extending for a first down. It's almost like they were pulling at his leg. The news is no ligament damage. It's a first-degree knee strain. So Chris Carson, again, for personal reasons, fantasy team, he's considered it's a 1 to 2 week injury. We'll have to see how that goes, said Pete Carroll. But they're 3-0. They get an easier one against the Dolphins next week.
I was wondering if it was either on your fantasy team or you had like a rogue degree from Oklahoma State or something. Because I know you
No. By the way,
well-traveled Mike Bell.
I need 80 points tonight from Lamar Jackson, and I'm right in the mix. I had Russell Gage. No, because I had Davante Adams, so I went with Russell Gage. Of course, and then Russell, we'll talk more about that in the Falcon report as far as the injuries. But yeah, man, Russell Gage went out. I rolled the dice with Fournette. He didn't really do anything for Tampa Bay as they handled their business. So yeah, man, I'm in a bad spot. I need Lamar Jackson to have the greatest game in the history of NFL quarterbacking tonight against the Chiefs.
Back on Russ, 14 touchdowns. That is the most in NFL history through three games of the season. Again, the Seahawks over the Cowboys. Also, Aaron Rodgers did us a favor in the Bayou.
Game balls.
Rodgers under center, second and inches. And a fake handoff. Rodgers rolls right, throws end zone, touchdown. Robert Tonyan. Aaron Rodgers delivers the dagger, and it's 36-27 Green Bay.
Now, Wayne Larrabee, Packers Radio.
Sorry to cut you off, Will. As much as we talked about how unclutch we are and how we don't know how to finish, how amazing, how perfect, how textbook was how Green Bay put the Saints away last night.
And how do you find that also, too, while watching that game, with the cadence? You know how Aaron's probably the best at drawing guys offsides. Right. How weird and eerie is that inside an empty Superdome? He's drawing the Holmes New Orleans Saints offsides. That's so weird, man.
Yeah, they had about 500. The same as what we did. They had some friends and family of the organization in there, so it was not obviously anything like what we normally hear. Kamara had his usual day, about 190 yards combined between rushing and receiving. But Drew Brees, you know, a lot of folks said he would bounce back. He did throw three touchdowns in this game, but it was brought up last night on the broadcast with Tirico and for Al Michaels with Chris Collinsworth that, you know, Brees, can he make one more run? Well, they're 1-2 right now. We get the Packers next week 3-0. We already talked about it. Aaron Jones is having a monster year. Alan Lazard steps up with 146 and a touchdown last night for Green Bay. And Aaron Rodgers is still doing what Aaron Rodgers is doing. And Matt LaFleur, how about the fact that they meet? They seem to be like in a much better place. It seemed like Aaron was a little in his bag last year, but apparently him and LaFleur coming up with plays that they like, what they don't like, and it seems like they got a hell of a chemistry going right now.
It's weird because, Mike, people were taking a lot of shots at the Packers, the way they handled the offseason, getting Jordan Love and not getting more weapons for Aaron Rodgers. The reason why they don't get more weapons for Aaron Rodgers is because he makes a guy like Alan Lazard look like a superstar. Six receptions, 146, including a 72-yard bomb for a touchdown. I mean, that's unfortunately, at least for Aaron Rodgers, he elevates teams like that, and that's why they don't really necessarily spend money on that kind of stuff.
Was it Aaron Jones that was wearing the sombrero in the pregame interview? Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
Mellow dude. You always think of Harry Carey. Hey, check out the kid in the sombrero. It's balls, man. Game balls, no balls today on Dukes and Bell with Will. And for Carl, what you got?
Next one. People were talking a lot about the diminishing talent of Drew Brees. Same thing for this next guy. Let's just say the talent not diminishing, at least right now in Tampa Bay with Tampa.
Game balls.
Second down and goal. Running back is Rojo, Ronald Jones, tight end in motion. Brady will throw a fade route near sideline. Caught ball, Mike Evans, touchdown Tampa Bay.
That is Gene Dekaroff, Buccaneers Radio.
Yeah, man, Tampa Bay, we knew that some teams were going to come out of the gate slow. They obviously checked some of the things that they needed to work on. Denver is really, who's going to get got first? There's a lot of folks in Vegas now, unfortunately, they feel that Dan Quinn could be the first guy, but Fangio can't be far behind.
Either Fangio or the two guys up in New York. But again, we'll get to those guys in a moment. Also, one to look for, Minnesota. Dalvin Cook, pretty nice day for himself.
Game balls.
Hand off Cook. He goes behind the two tight ends to the right. Gets clear at the 35-30. Dalvin, 10-5. Touchdown! 39-yard energy boosting touchdown by Dalvin Cook.
How weird is it?
Oh, weird. That's Carl Allen. I'm sorry. I'm just taking the pukey announcer.
Paul Allen.
Nice day. Kirk Cousins, man. He's like, they're like upside down on Kirk Cousins, like a bad car loan. Three touchdowns, two picks, and they lose to Tennessee. Tennessee now 3-0. Ryan Tannehill, you know, wasn't the best day as far as in the end zone. He was, you know, yardage wise, he was okay. But Derrick Henry on the ground for two scores. But man. If you didn't see the game, one of the craziest kicking seasons. Obviously, they've had some struggles in their kicking game, if you didn't know about it. And then Gostkowski hits the big one to win it against Minnesota. 0-3, a team which some folks thought could play maybe in the NFC Championship.
How do you rush for 226 yards? Dalvin Cook rushes for 181. How do you get that kind of output and not win? That to me is...
Right.
incoherently possible.
Well, like I said, they just, and I wonder if it's going to start to creep in. Remember last season, it was Stephon Diggs and Rudolph calling mm-hmm. out Kirk Cousins. And, you know, Diggs is having a great year with Buffalo. We'll talk about Josh Allen in a second. But, yeah, there's just a missing component. That's another team that's got so much talent, but 0-3.
All right. I mentioned the guys in New York. Yeah, one of them, maybe his career is going down the tubes.
No balls.
Jets trail 24-7. Darnold looking over the defense. Sets up, throws right side. It's picked off. Clear to the day for the Colts. The Colts are running the other way with it. At the 20, T.J. Carey. And Carey turns it all the way in to a pick six. Two of them on the day for the Colts. Touchdown. I-N-D-Y. Defense, have a day.
Two pick sixes for Sam Darnold and the Jets. They are 0-3. Look, man, you can lose the way we lost, or you can lose the way that the Jets lost. There is no hope, and I'm telling you, absolutely no hope for that man up there in New Jersey.
No, and all my buddies over to high school with the Jets fans go, man, we got to get Trevor Lawrence. I mean, and again, if ever there was a place, you know what I mean? You think about like all that hype for Zion, and he goes to New Orleans, small market. Oh. If ever there was a place, and imagine the Joe Namath stuff and all the things they would say about Sunshine if Trevor Lawrence wound up with the Jets. I don't know if that's a good thing for poor Trevor. I don't want to wish that on anybody. But yeah, the Jets are dead in the water. Giants are even worse. 49ers beat them with Mullins at quarterback. Their 49ers are decimated with injuries, and they're able to beat Big Blue, who, you know, without Saquon Barkley, they're dead in the water themselves.
There were two quarterbacks who went up against NFC South teams who were backups. Justin Herbert did so for the LA Chargers. They lose to the Carolina Panthers. And we mentioned Tom Brady and the Bucks earlier. This is what was on the other side for Denver.
No balls.
His own end zone shotgun set. Driscoll takes the snap. Blitz up the middle. Blitz toward the end zone. He will be sacked in the back in the end zone. It's a safety for the Buccaneers. Was it Shaq Barrett that got it? Or was it Winfield?
It was Shaq Barrett.
Jeff Driscoll, 17-30 for a touchdown and a pick. They brought in Brett Rippon to relieve him. 8 of 9, 53 yards. They were both in place of Drew Locke, who was out due to injury.
Yeah, man. And one of the guys, I'll just do an additional. Give me a game ball if you can, Craig, because I thought if you didn't see it, a guy, and I want to just do it on the go on the record because we talked about this last week. Josh Allen is just unbelievable. And I do think if ever there was a guy who has shown some improvement and gone from, remember, this guy was under 60% coming out of Wyoming. That's why we said we didn't buy into the hype. He's got a cannon. He can literally throw it 80 yards in the air. He's got confidence. He's making good decisions. They're 3-0. They've helped him with the wide receiver game. But the guy, I mean, he's become a highlight reel. I mean,
balls.
Yeah, man. I will say, hey, you know, one thing about us, and Carl always says it, we go with what we know. And the information early on this guy was, there wasn't really not much to see from his college stats other than, you know, the physical side. That this guy was going to be worth it. But they get in this shootout with the Rams. They're blowing doors. The Rams come back. Josh Allen, 311 yards, 24 for 33, 4 touchdowns with a pick. And the guy, I mean, he's becoming a, I mean, he's a star in this league. He makes plays.
It's weird because you look at him and you wondered what you were going to see from him and that team. He's probably the best quarterback in that division right now, other than maybe Cam. Although, again, I think he's playing better than Cam.
And by the way, I feel so bad for a local guy, Gainesville-owned Deshaun Watson. They got no playmakers. Bill O'Brien made some of the stupidest moves in the offseason, and now the Texans are there's a team that's going nowhere right now with one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
It's a Falcons Monday brought to you by Xfinity. Experience internet that's more than just fast with Xfinity XFi. We'll get more into the Falcons later on here in the program. But coming up next, Braves-Reds Wednesday, game number one. How you feeling, Braves fans, about this postseason? Can it happen for the first time in 2 decades? Do we get a series win? Dukes and Bell, Willie P. in for Carl, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. It's Dukes and Bell, Willie P. in for Carl. Tonight, Monday Night Football, we've got a dandy, Mike. We get Lamar Jackson and the Ravens against the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. I tell you what, this time of the sports season, I wasn't necessarily sold on the idea of putting all this stuff right at the same time, but we have the NBA Finals starting Wednesday. We've got baseball playoffs starting tomorrow. Braves on Wednesday. Still got the Stanley Cup going on. If there's a Game 7, we'll have it for you on 92.9 The Game. A bevy of options right now, and I feel like every night is something huge and big that you just can't miss.
The good news for Atlanta United is all these distractions are taking us away from how absolutely horrible the Five Stripes are right now. Another loss.
I didn't want to mention that.
Chicago, I watched it last night. I'm slipping back and forth between the Packers and the Saints. It's just so frustrating because, you know, you see the Saints and the Packers, and the Packers, you know, a real, you know, punch, counterpunch, and the Packers, you know, finishing that game. Talked about it earlier, you know, the Cowboys-Seattle game, you know, and see Seattle, you know, and finding a way to, you know, finish off the Cowboys. And just, and then you see us and, you know, blowing leads. And then to see the stuff last night, as I mentioned, on Football Night in America, to hear, you know, everybody in the CBS Sports Minutes like, oh, you know, the Falcons, they are the choke of the NFL. I mean, it just, because we are. I mean, there's no, you can't sugarcoat it. There's no way to spin it. There's no coach speak. There's, you know, I saw an interview where Todd Gurley goes, you know, we got to do better. I know we all got to do better. But, I mean, at some point you look at the culture and you look at what happens and you say, this isn't working. And for those that are just tuning in, Chris Mortensen reported there would be no, at least he's hearing, there's going to be nothing on the Dan Quinn coaching story as far as this week with Arthur Blank. Today is Yom Kippur, the high holy day. Obviously, it's a day of atonement, and Arthur's going to be off the grid. So whether that gives him a reprieve. And as you said, it would be just our luck to go up there and go balls out against Green Bay. But here's the thing, win or lose against Green Bay. I've seen enough the last 3 years. I've seen enough last season.
Basically, we're in that frame of mind right now, though, Mike. It's like we're in a situation right now where you have Falcons fans who literally say, we want this team to lose because we want this man out. Like, that's the mentality. And I feel like once you get to that point, that's when you've lost the fan base. And when you're in a situation where it's like, again, you're basically feel like you've been betrayed.
And that's the thing. I mean, last year, if you watched, you know, I go to every site. I got my pin for perfect attendance last year from the Falcons. Mm-hmm. I got one. But no, I mean, it's half empty Mercedes-Benz, regardless of the personal seat license and all that, you know, debacle. But I mean, you still got half your – Arthur Blank is sitting up there in the owner's box, and he's looking at an empty stadium, half empty stadium. I mean, he's got – at some point, it's just got to say, look, I've got to just rip the Band-Aid off this. And it sucks. I mean, could you imagine at age 78 to be this close to winning, you know, a couple of years ago, obviously, to win the Super Bowl? And again, we all know what happened there. You know, I mean, we blew it. And unfortunately, the culture continues. Shanahan was the brains of the operation. Nothing has been the same. The 1 year the defense plays lights out in 17, we got a guy in Sarkisian who didn't know how to run this offense. And the offense was abysmal, especially in the red zone. The coaching hires, I said this on last week's show. You know, if and when, or heaven forbid, like maybe Dan can turn it around. I don't know. I don't really believe that, but I'll say it because some Falcon fans are still, you know, believe in the tooth fairy and all that stuff.
Right.
But, you know, what's so frustrating for me is the coaching hires. The coaching hires. Special teams coach that can't do his job or not doing his job effectively. Dirk Cutter, second time around, not effective. You know, Marquand Manuel was a great coach until he lost his compass, and he gets got.
Right.
You know, Raheem Morris, remember that? And again, Will, real quick, before we go, I know we're going to promise baseball talk, and we'll get to it. What do you make of multiple coaches calling the defense?
I mean,
that makes no sense to me. And I know we went 6-2 with this working, but it didn't make sense even when it works.
Yeah, I don't like it. I know you guys went into it a lot last week about how Ulbrich has first down and second down, and then Raheem goes on third down. What is keeping one of those guys from doing the whole darn thing? Like, if you are a defensive coordinator, in my mind, you should call the defense on first, second, third, and fourth down. Like, that to me doesn't make much sense. And again, I know that you want to elevate the status of Jeff Ulbrich, and maybe that was what you needed to do to keep him around. But at the same time, those are the tough decisions that need to be made by personnel management. And right now, like you said, there just aren't the right guys in place. And that's why I said earlier that, you know, if you make a coaching change, if that's what has to happen, I don't know if that's all of a sudden the end all be all. Maybe that is the thing that, you know, kind of puts these guys, gives the guys the kick in the pants that they need. But at the same point in time, Mike, if we're looking at the changes that need to happen for this franchise to completely turn its compass around, you mentioned the word compass with Marquand Manuel, you need to take complete stock of the organization and go one by one down everybody in the organization, because I don't think anybody escapes the light of criticism right now.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked so much about, you know, the draft, and I thought, you know, the offensive line, it seems like we've got some stability. I know that obviously it's not optimal when McGarry is out with that knee strain. I thought Gono, you know, did the best he can. As you said, when you leave him one-on-one without a fullback or a tight end to help him against one of the preeminent pass rushers, bad things are going to happen. So it just, to me, you know it when you see it, guys. There's teams that, you know, I just laid it out last night. Seattle finished off, you know, their game. The Packers finished off their game. You know, and you know, you saw a young Buffalo team with a young Josh Allen finish, you know, after the Rams punched him in the face and they came back. And we just fold. We're good enough to get the lead, but then our mental makeup, our lack of poise, and that's from players, that's coaches, it just goes out the window. And you can't fire all 53 players. So you know where this goes. Look, Dan Quinn knows where this is going. I mean, my God, he's been in this. And these coaches, that's the other thing. In this town, people lose their mind, Will, when you talk about, well, you know. No, you got to change things. Give Atlanta United credit. Now, granted, this season's a damn disaster, but at least they said it wasn't working with Frank DePore and they made the move. In this case, I mean, I don't understand what Arthur's expecting to see on Monday night that would change his mind. And I think you said it earlier. You just mentioned it. You start to lose the fan base. I mean, the good news is you really can't see it vis-a-vis attendance because you're never going to get the full stadium anyway with COVID. But you're right. We're a team now where fans are just, they're throwing their hands up. They're going, I've seen enough. How many emails and texts have you seen in tweets the last 24 hours?
Incredible amount. And that's like you said, that's kind of the real barometer. When you have those people who basically have felt like they've given up, it's hard to get them back unless change is made. It's a Falcons Monday brought to you by Xfinity. Experience internet that's more than just fast with Xfinity XFi. Braves on Wednesday open up the postseason. It'll be Max Fried going against Trevor Bauer. I asked this question earlier in the program, and I want to hear what you have to say. Do you feel like we're going to see more of the same with these games that have possibilities for high scores, or do you think we will see, you know, that playoff baseball type feel where pitching is paramount?
Well, the Reds have got great pitching. You know, that's one of those things we talked about. You know, Trevor Bauer has kind of, you know, in part, you know, got clutch and helped them get back on track. And there is, as you said, we're now looking at, as Murphy's Law seems to be with the Braves going into the postseason, a team which is really hot. You know, they're second in the NL Central. You know, some of these guys, now they're not batting for average, but, you know, they hit home runs. You said at their ballpark, and we're only going to have to play one game in their ballpark, but, you know, the usual suspects, Joey Votto, was it Nick Castellanos, Eugenio Suarez, their third baseman. You know, it's like kind of, it's like, what is it, the modern baseball? It's like strikeout or home run. But the pitching is the concern. You touched on it, man. You got three solid starters. You got Trevor Bauer. I guess we'll see Sonny Gray in the second game, and then Castillo.
They're going to go other way around. They're going to go Castillo in game two, according to David Bell.
Those are good pitchers.
Yeah.
I mean, Trevor Bauer, is he's, as I said it earlier, he's got second most strikeouts only to DeGrom in the National League. Can you the idea is the good pitching is going to trump the good hitting. I sure hope not. How worried are you about Acuna with the wrist injury?
I'm worried because it's the same wrist. If it was a different wrist, I'd be like, okay, maybe it's just something that's bothering him. Maybe some overcompensation. But the fact that it's the same wrist, and that's the weird thing, too, about this year. I've been very wary, and I'm not going to try to call AA or SNIT out on this, but I feel like any time they've said anything about an injury, it's always been longer. And again, I'm not saying that's necessarily their fault, but think about Cole Hamels, how long we waited to see him. We got him for three innings for the entire season, and that was it. Acuna had a wrist injury earlier in the year. We thought he was going to be out for a week. It ended up being 2 or 3 weeks. Same thing for Ozzie Albies. I mean, it's one thing after another, and it's like, oh, my goodness. We see Max Fried go down with his ankle on Wednesday. They say he's okay. They say he was able to throw yesterday and not necessarily have any ill effects, but what's going to happen when the lights are turned to the brightest? That's the biggest issue in my mind, Mike, is that we really just don't know. And I said this over the weekend in regards to a lot of things. There's a wide chasm between belief and certainty. And right now, that's the pool that the Braves are waiting in right now, is that I'm not necessarily sure if I believe that they are a team that can go deep, but I know they have the lineup to do it. And if there's ever a lineup that could possibly dominate in this postseason, it's the Braves. I just don't know if that brand of baseball that's played in the postseason, and again, a lot of that happens, you know, 20 years ago. But even in recent memory, look at the Nationals last year. They rode starting pitching to a World Series with a team that really wasn't that good hitting with the lineup. I'm wondering if that can be the case this year in the inverse right now for the Braves.
Well, that's just it. I mean, we've said it a few times over the course of the last few weeks that, unfortunately, because we put our hopes in Cole Hamels, and that was a pipe dream, and they, you know, you probably needed to go even better. I mean, as much as $18 million seems extravagant, you need to spend even more money for a frontline starter. My argument is, even next year, with Fried and a healthy Soroka and Kyle Wright, and obviously now you really start to, you know, Ian Anderson has come on, and you hope that these young pitchers can handle the pressure of these situations. You know, I thought one of the things about Ian Anderson, unlike everybody else we trotted out, he never seemed like the moment was too big for him, even when he's, you know, having a hard time. you know. And then of course Bryce Wilson has shown some guts and some real grit the last couple of starts. And then we still got to go and get a big time money guy. Liberty Media is, regardless of what the financial situation is in baseball, you're a $1 billion company. You got to take a cue from the Astros. They went and got Verlander to complement their pitching. They added, you know, Gerrit Cole a couple years ago, and he's moved on to the Yankees. But you can't keep doing it with fish heads and rice. But now we're in this. And the other thing which drives me crazy, I hate this defeatist attitude of, well, you know, this season didn't matter anyway. BS, this season didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell that to the Padres and the A's. Who can maybe, the A's with Billy Bean and Moneyball can finally maybe get to the top of the mountain. And even then somebody says it has an asterisk. Well, you put an asterisk on it.
I don't mean to parrot you.
You got to deal with the pressure, right?
I don't mean to parrot you, but I've been saying this a lot on our Braves podcast, which is called Batter Up, which you can find at the radio.com app, anywhere you get podcasts as well. I really hate how I feel like a lot of this fan base has been paralyzed and brainwashed into the fact that you have to develop your own pitching. I feel like the best pitching staffs are the ones where they're developed by other people and other teams, because you get Tommy John out of the way. You get the other factors out of the way, and teams allow these guys to make their mistakes elsewhere before you sign them and you get the best years of them. So I'm right. I hope that this year has convinced AA and Liberty Media to go out and actually invest in some frontline starting pitching, but that remains to be seen. What's coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, guys. A wacky story out of California. Somebody tried to steal Joe Montana's grandchild. You hear about this?
I did not.
Well, that's why we got it for you in Guy Talk. And on the lighter side, we'll have some stuff about, something that'll titillate you. Guaranteed. Coming up next on Dukes and Bell, we got Willie in for Carl. Plenty more chances to rant. We'll give you guys a chance next hour. Don't forget, it's radio.com as well as 92.9 The Game.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah, we could use some shenanigans today. It's a Monday here in Paradise on a Falcon Monday. Don't forget, guys, Falcon Report, the latest on the injuries, who will be good to go, or we hope will be good to go for the Green Bay game. Dan Quinn is still the Falcons coach. Arthur is off the grid today. It's Yom Kippur, as Chris Mortensen was reporting earlier that there'll be no movement there as far as Dan Quinn. So nothing really to say other than to just wonder why the heck we keep doing this. And I think we know why we keep doing this. We just don't play with poise. We don't make good decisions from the coaching box to actually on the field. You know, so we'll get into more of that coming up. And then Dan Quinn is on with Arch in the Dan Quinn Show. And it is, who did I say was going to be today? The running back?
It is Brian Hill, the running back.
Bet it is, right here on Dukes and Bell from the 6 to 7. Hey, man, we did not talk about this last week, but it's gone national. A lot of news, man. Georgia adult entertainers, Will, are making news for getting the vote out. Have you seen these PSAs, get your booty to the poll?
Oh, I have. I've seen every little bit of it, if you know what I mean.
Again, I don't think you should say stripper. I say adult entertainer. And two filmmakers in Georgia have an important message this election. Get your booty to the poll. It dropped last week. It's a GoFundMe page created over the summer, and it's about a 90-second public service announcement that starts, obviously, with the girls dancing. You see the, you know, high heels and the whole shebang. You know what's more than just present on the ballot, right? A dancer named Nikki asks. So anyway, it's gone really well. Video starts 20 seconds, as I said. Exotic dancers performing, and then eventually they say, do we get your attention? Good. clad in star-spangled American flags, looks up at the camera, a girl named Coy. And she says, so you're really not going to vote? See, this is, I mean, look, whatever it takes to get people off their butt. I would imagine, and don't forget, we've said about the Atlanta Hawks at State Farm Arena this year more than ever. And just because you haven't worked with me in a while, Will, I say it about every week on Twitter. We apologize for the political ads. Can't avoid them. There's a rule by the Federal Communications Commission that we got to take these ads. So again, no matter if they're blue state or red state or whatever, whichever way your political meter teeters, we have no control over this stuff. So don't kill the messenger, okay? It's we have to give them the rate.
I think I quote tweeted you the other day about it. It's, you know, that the equal time law. It's like if you take from one, you got to take from all. And fortunate or unfortunate, it's what pays the bills, man.
Right. And again, we've talked about me running for mayor or city council. But again, we'd have to give the other candidates. I mean, who wants to hear that? You know, I'd love to run for mayor. Think of the shenanigans we'd have. We'd have the Autobahn lane everywhere. You know, you'd have like bars would be open till 6. We'd generate revenue. I'd be pro-business, unlike those guys out there in Chamblee who obviously have a problem with single moms. Here we've got strippers trying to get the message to get the vote out, and Follies gets closed. It's not right, Will. It's not right.
Mm-mm, not at all.
You don't even know about Follies. You know, there's no way you know about Follies. You've only been here a year. If you're over on Buford Highway in Follies, I'd be very impressed if you've been over there.
I have not, but I have been a couple places where you've taken me too. Yes. You've been more than a very adequate influence right. in that regard. I'll tell you
that's
that.
What
right
I do. Now. I like to help people. Hey man, crazy story out of LA, and maybe you guys have seen this already. Up in Malibu, some wacko tried stealing Joe Montana's grandchild. Joe Montana said a home intruder tried to take his 9-month-year-old grandchild before he and his wife basically just wrestled the kid away from this crazy woman. Montana tweeted on Sunday that it was a scary situation, but thankful that everybody is doing well. According to the Popo, Montana told him his 9-month-old grandchild was sleeping in the playpen on Saturday when an unknown woman allegedly enters their home and removes her from, she grabs her and she's got the baby in her arms. And basically Montana's wife, technically Grandma Montana, confronts the woman and they're wrestling in the living room and she gets the kid out of this wacko's hands.
Exactly. That's
tussle,
that's
by the way. Yeah, they said that the kid's okay, by the way. The suspect,
thank goodness.
Montana, they hit 911. They get the cops on it. And after they searched the area, deputies found the suspect and they took her into custody, charged with kidnapping and burglary. Montana thanked everybody and reached out for some privacy. That's why they don't even know if it's a boy or a girl that their grandchild is, because they want to keep it that way. How crazy is that?
That's nuts. That's completely nuts. How does that happen?
Well, my first thinking was, well, I mean, Malibu, if you've ever driven north of Los Angeles and going towards Santa Barbara, there's not a lot of property, you know, it's basically houses right off Pacific Coast Highway. But still there's some gates, you know, depends on how
much real estate. Usually it's heavily guarded, right? Yeah. Right,
or at least, you know, you'd think, but in this case, and Joe Montana, you know, he's like, I don't get as mushy with him as I do with Dan Marino, but he's close second. But I was just glad to hear that everything was okay, because that's just creepy. Speaking of taking care...
Well, Mike, I was going to tell you, some of those Malibu places, you got to walk. If you're walking up the beach along the coastline, you could walk into anybody's backyard if you're coming from the beach point of view.
I never thought of it that way. Yeah, you're right, because whenever you see like movies and stuff, you can just come right back. If the sliding glass door isn't locked, you can get right in the house.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's nuts.
Yuck. By the way, there's a great... Where is this place? It's a quick story on Los Angeles. Years ago, they sent us out there when Conan O'Brien launched in L.A., and we did the show, and I got a best friend who lives in Hermosa Beach, which is on the other end, that's South Bay. But we went up to Gladstone's, which is this great seafood spot in Malibu, and we're hanging out. And we, at the time, this is before Becky. If she's listening, Becky, now's a good time to turn off the radio. But we met these two really, you know, sexy, blonde, wannabe actresses in L.A., and so Munson's like, my buddy goes, so you guys want to grab dinner? We were thinking to go to the Palm tonight. And she's like, oh yeah, sure, hold on, let me just tell my boyfriend, tell him I'm not coming home.
It's
Craig, that's just so California.
It's so factual.
It's so California. I've been experiences in California which make my head explode. One time we were at a bar in Hermosa. We were at Sharky's
is the best bar ever.
Great bar ever. I was wearing like either a Florida State cap, something red. And I'm walking to the bouncer's like, hey man, no colors. I go, what do you think? I'm a Crip? I'm wearing a Florida State hat for crying out loud.
But so anyway,
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say,
we get in the bar, and we're me and my buddy, my best friend from high school, he's a big guy. He played defensive end. He's a large dude. And we're talking to a couple of girls, and like 10 minutes goes by, and this typical California guy taps me on the shoulder. Hey, bro, are you guys going to seal the deal? Because we'd really like to talk to these chicks.
that is so funny. Oh my God, that's so true about Sharky's. The only time I was there, and I told you, Mike, about this, it was we were down there for a wedding. Walk into there, because you can pretty much walk in for any bar. And it's the only time in my life I ever had girls come up to us and say, hey, you guys in town? You're like, yeah, we're here for a wedding. Cool, can we come back to your place? We'll buy the alcohol. I was like, excuse me? And they end up buying Goldschlager. You want to talk about the worst hangover of my lifetime? But I will always remember, it was the only time in my life girls asked to come back to my hotel and buy alcohol.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, could you imagine being in the East Coast, somebody in a bar in Atlanta or New York or Philadelphia going, oh, hey, you're going to like seal the deal because we really want to talk to those girls. I'm like, I literally said at the time, I go, how about I hit you over the head with a cash register? So we're right by the bar. And this guy's
it's
like,
just a
whoa,
different mood, man.
What's with the hostility, bro? I'm like, hey, Bodie, take a freaking hike. You know, anyway, where was I? This all started
he was
talking
an FBI
about-
agent, Mike.
This all started about Joe Montana's grandkid. Sorry about this. I got off on a tangent. Hey, we will
that
do
never
the,
happens with you.
That's what happens. We'll do the closing bell coming up later. Real quick, though, let's get to the birthdays today. Today, by the way, it's very apropos for September 28th and the Falcons. I'll explain. First, we'll start with people that are still alive. Actress Naomi Watts is 52 today. She's a knockout. Very talented young actress. Jeezy. He's no longer young Jeezy, right, Craig? You're my conduit to hip-hop. He's just Jeezy.
Yeah, well, we'll see. He changes his name every 2 years.
He is Jeezy. Tyler Lockett, you talked about him, Will, in the NFL Blitz. He's definitely a baller. Had a monster day yesterday as they beat the Cowboys. He's 28. Now, I know for you young guys, you won't even know who this is, but you Google it, you'll thank me. Brigitte Bardot 86. Talk about a fabulous one. You got to look it up. Hillary Duff is 53. Also today, Ed Sullivan's birthday. It's on with the shoe. And then finally, I think Falcon fans, it all makes sense. Do you know who Peter Finch is, Will? You ever heard of Peter Finch?
I know the name. I'm trying to figure out the correspondence.
Talented English stage actor. He's done a million movies, but he's most famous for, Craig, cue it up, the movie Network, as this maniac newsman who goes bananas on air, and it sounds something like this.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad.
As if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being, damn it.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
There you go.
And if ever there's a comment from a movie that captures the vibe of Atlanta Falcon fans today, well, there it is right there.
It certainly is true.
I'm going to go this on my balcony during the commercial break. I'm just going to go do it right now.
I might be able to hear you, depending on which way you scream.
Will is two blocks that way. I'll lean your way. We're mad as hell, Falcon fans, and we're not going to take it anymore. But we got some college football to talk about next, don't we?
We certainly do. Dog Report comes your way next. JT Daniels is cleared. What does that mean for the Georgia quarterback decision going into the Auburn game after what we saw last weekend against Arkansas? Willie P in for Carl Dukes. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.